Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today with another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's a program and a broadcast I look forward to. And most especially, I look forward to your dialogue and discussion, your comments and questions in relationship to the issues that we're dealing with. And I pray that you tuned in today and that you've invited friends and neighbors to tune in also as we face issues day by day. I remind you once again that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of some dogma, some dogmatic theological debate. It's not a matter of ideological philosophy. It's not a matter of some dogma from a denomination. It's based on what the Word of God says. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's what America needs today more than anything else, is a good dose of central biblicist theology. And what does the Word of God say? It is an amazing thing to me to see so many people talking about issues that we're faced with in America today and the problems that we're faced with, and they're doing so from a philosophical, ideological bent and not based on the authority of Scripture. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's from the fundamental source of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we make determinations and decisions for what God would have us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today America on our knees. America on our knees. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living, I believe, in the last days of the Scripture, as we find perilous times shall come. That means difficult, dark, dangerous, devastating days, and we're living in those days. You can ask anyone. Ask someone in business. Ask anyone at any level of political arena. Ask anyone in the professional level. Ask anyone that's a conservative theological leader. Ask anyone that's a conservative Bible study, Bible pastor, Bible scholar, and you will understand that the answer will be, we are living in some difficult days, some dark days. Yes, indeed. God has intervened back November the 8th, 2018, and he's put President Donald J. Trump in office. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, with President Trump in office, he can make the best decisions that he can. And we can even elect good politicians, elect leadership that we think are honorable and godly. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, you can pass all the laws you want to. You can introduce all the bills you'd like to. And you find that we still have a quagmire of difficulties. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to face those difficulties in those dark days. And we're going to do so until our nation turns around. What's missing today is a wholesale turning back to God. We must be on our knees seeking God and God's wisdom through God's word, that is the Bible. That's the source book for Christian life. That's the source book for the direction of our nation. And it's as a result of Christian founding fathers that provided for us the documents, the founding documents that we have today. And it's all based on the authority of the Word of God. And I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to think about prayer and what prayer does, I've said many times from the pulpit and in lectures, just look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah, with 49,942 people in just 52 days, rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. But ladies and gentlemen, before he entered into that task, what did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah prayed. He confessed his personal sins. He confessed the sins of his nation and his people. And then he attempted to rebuild the walls with God's wisdom and God's direction. During the 52 days of rebuilding that wall, by the way, study the book of Nehemiah, some of the best study that you'll ever do. I call it Together We Build. And that's what you find. But during that 52 days of rebuilding the wall, ladies and gentlemen, around Jerusalem, Nehemiah faced the enemies on every hand. He faced threats. He faced intimidation. And each time there would be the threat and the intimidation from the opposition and from the enemies, he would not stop the work. He said, the work is too great. I can't come down. He continued to work and watch, and he would simply say, Lord, you see what they're doing. Lord, you hear what they're saying. Lord, would you take care of this problem? And ladies and gentlemen, that goes back to a primary verse that I have taught for many, many years, and that is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is the key to what we need in America today. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's needed today, a turning back, a wholesale turning back to God. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, on May the 2nd, I believe it's this Thursday, May the 2nd will be National Day of Prayer. It's a day set aside in America that we focus on turning back to God in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today, our special guest today on Let's Face the Issues is Judge John Missberg. And Judge Missberg is a representative for our area for the National Day of Prayer. Let me just, before I introduce him live on the air, let me just give you a little background on the judge. Judge Missberg is a federal administrative law judge with the Social Security Administration in Jacksonville. He's been a judge for about 25 years. He's served for 47 years in 7 different federal agencies. He is married to Denise, his dear wife, for some 38 years. They have 6 children and 8 grandchildren. John's wife, Denise, is a Messianic Jewish believer. Judge Missberg, ladies and gentlemen, has served as an elder and a Sunday school teacher in his local church for many, many years. The judge is an avid Christian and has taught the Christian heritage of America for many years now. So, Your Honor, we're delighted to have you on board today, delighted to have you on Let's Face the Issues. Let me just say to you, welcome, and I'm prayerful today that our listeners will join in the dialogue and discussion and will be willing to take a stand. Take a knee. That's bending the knee before the Lord in prayer. Welcome, Judge, on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues today.
Well, good morning, Dr. Youngblood. I'm very honored to be on your program. I've been listening to your show for about 6 months. And I deeply admire your faithfulness and your commitment to the Word of God and how the Bible speaks to the issues of our day.
I am so thankful, Judge, and your delight to be able to have you on the air with us. It is our privilege to have you, and especially at this point in time in our nation's history where there's such a vital, desperate need for Christians in America to turn back to God, and especially in prayer. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about the history of National Day of Prayer?
Yes, sir. The National Day of Prayer was started in 1952 by President Harry Truman and the Congress to be the first Thursday of the month of May every year. And the people were urged to, quote, turn to God in prayer and meditation. And this year, President Trump has designated May 2nd, 2019, which is this Thursday, May 2nd, as the National Day of Prayer. And we are greatly honored to pray for our country. The National Day of Prayer Task Force official event for Jacksonville will be at New Life Christian Fellowship on Thursday night at 7 p.m. And we want to thank New Life and Pastor Paul Zink, Jr. for hosting this very important event.
Yes. Thank you so much for that. And tell our listeners in the event they can participate in the event. Tell our listeners exactly what they need to do to become involved and what is required of them. And something about the schedule or the program for that event.
Right. Well, we're going to open with prayer. Which is
yes.
Very important. Then we're going to have a time of praise and worship. Kalani Gleckler, our great worship leader, is going to lead us in praise and worship of our mighty God. And then we're going to have prayers for the 7 mountains of influence in our culture. We've appointed prayer leaders from 9 different churches in Jacksonville who will be leading prayers for the church, for the government, for marriage and the family, for schools and education, for arts and entertainment, for business, and for the media. And we will also have rapid-fire prayer from the congregation, so everyone there will be able to pray for America.
Those categories that you're talking about for special intercession prayer, I don't have anything, any list that would be any better than that list that you have just articulated that we'll be praying Amen. For. And especially when you say for our leadership, for our president and leadership, and for the media. I believe all of us would agree that the media needs a prayer, perhaps as much or more than anything else in America today. It is that, as President Trump has said, it's that fake news. And we need to go back to media where they're reporting news and not making news. So I think it's a wonderful program that you have laid out for Thursday night.
Well, sometimes we laugh about that and laugh about fake news. But, you know, it really is a serious matter because truth is extremely important to the Lord. And lying will be judged tremendously by God. And so it's very, very important not only to the Lord but to America and to our democracy that we have truth spoken on the airwaves and in our media.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've said so many years, Your Honor, is that I believe truth is a lost art. Truth is a lost word. Truth is a word that is rejected and repelled against. And when you find in the 2 Chronicles 7:14 text, which is one of my favorites, of course, when I say that, I have to do it tongue-in-cheek. My wife says, don't you realize that every text that you talk about, you say is your favorite? And it simply is because I love the Word of God. But where Amen. It says, turn from your wicked ways and seek my face. And one of the things, Your Honor, that I believe many people do not recognize, seeking the face of God. If I were to say I'm seeking my wife's face, that means I'm seeking to please her, seeking to honor her, seeking to do what's best for her, seeking to respect her. And that's what God's Word says we ought to do. If we're going to find God's intervention in our nation, exactly as you're saying and advocating today, is the National Day of Prayer. And we need to recognize the need, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that we turn back to God, seek His face, and allow God to intervene in the affairs of our land. What is the theme? And, of course, you've touched on that basically, but the theme, and I'd like for you to articulate a little deeper with that theme for the National Day of Prayer and the evening meeting. And the theme is, of course, prayer. But what is the focus? And touch on some of those tentacles of the focus of the National Day of Prayer once again for our listeners.
Absolutely. The 2019 theme for the National Day of Prayer is love one another just as I have loved you, which, of course, is the new commandment which was given to us by the Lord Jesus in the book of John. And I believe it is a great prescription for the lack of civility in our land. And we're going to be praying this theme in all seven mountains of influence. But I Dr. Youngblood, I believe that there are many, many very important reasons to pray for America at this point. Number one, I believe America has a covenant with God. The Pilgrims signed the Mayflower Compact in 1620, and the Huguenots prayed to God in 1562 right here at Fort Caroline in Jacksonville. Our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were clearly inspired by God. Prayer and the Judeo-Christian values have always been essential and key to the survival and success of America. By prayer, we need to remember by prayer that we won the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I and II, and the Cold War. And so God has been very faithful to us. But in the last few years, or the last 50 years, really, we have seen, I believe, a liberal, secular, humanistic movement in our country to remove God from our public life and denigrate our Christian faith. As you know, prayer and Bible were removed from our schools. And in the latest poll, which I just saw last week, 70% of Americans say they are still Christian, but that's down from 80%, and 23% profess no religious affiliation at all. The last 2 years, as you know, have been very divisive for our country politically and spiritually. We've seen many scandals, fake news in the media, as we mentioned. And according to President Trump, an actual coup d'etat by our own government against a duly elected president appointed by the Lord. So I believe this is a critical moment to pray for America that he would restore our Judeo-Christian heritage, restore law and order, restore safe borders of our country, restore religious freedom, restore equal justice under law, and restore respect and honor for our president.
Yes, amen. I could say amen, amen, amen on that. That is so vitally needed today. And as you have just spoken so well and articulated the tentacles of the issue so well, we are a major divided nation. And with the political correctism that has gone awry in our nation, we're finding the Isaiah 5:20 coming into focus today. That is, right is called wrong and wrong is called right. There seems to be no recognition of that which is wrong in society. In fact, one of the broadcasts that I will do later this week is Crisis in America. And I'll be talking about all of those. It's like the perfect storm. All of these tentacles are coming together simultaneously. And I believe, Judge, unless we as Christians recognize this, and as you are advocating and as we have advocated so long, that we need to turn back to God as a nation. And as Nehemiah of old, he confessed his sins personally. He confessed the sins of his nation. And it was only then that God gave success in rebuilding the wall. And if we in America today, Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to expect something from God, if we're going to expect God's intervention, we need to turn to God, seek his face, and allow God to intervene on our behalf. And just as the judge has just spoken so well, I believe that it was God's divine intervention in November of 2018 when he put Donald J. Trump in office as president. Your Honor, I shudder at the thought of where we'd be as a nation today had God not intervened and put Donald Trump in the office of presidency for the United States of America. So let me say again, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We invite you to call in if you've got any questions or comments about National Day of Prayer. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have your questions responded to, your dialogue, and your thoughts included in this broadcast. We'd be delighted to have you. Your thoughts and concerns in relationship to the National Day of Prayer. Judge, would you say, and I know this is kind of a simplistic question, but for the benefit of our listeners, do you think there's power in prayer?
Absolutely. I would like to recite for you a few facts about prayer in American history.
Yes.
And the power of prayer in American history. Christopher Columbus, a Messianic Jew, prayed for God to guide him to our shores to bring the gospel to the New World. As I mentioned before, the Pilgrims prayed for a land of religious freedom and signed the Mayflower Compact, stating that their voyage was undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And in 1774, Benjamin Franklin urged the Continental Congress to begin their meetings with prayer. And the result of that prayer was the Declaration of Independence. George Washington, the father of our country, prayed in the snow at Valley Forge, and the Revolutionary War was won. Abraham Lincoln prayed daily in the White House, and the Union was saved. And the slaves were freed. FDR and General Eisenhower prayed during World War II, and America defeated the Nazis and saved the world for freedom. And so I think we can see that prayer has been absolutely essential to the survival and the success of America and our freedom for 243 years.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Your Honor, would you say that... God is going to continue to bless America to the degree that we depend on him, trust in him, and go to him in prayer, linked with the inextricable link of America standing with the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the apple of God's eye.
Amen, amen. God says in his word that if we bless Israel and the Jewish people, that he will bless us. And America has been blessing the country of Israel, the nation of Israel, for decades, from President Truman on down to President Trump, and the moving of our embassy by President Trump to Jerusalem was, I believe, a major prophetic act which will have great blessings for our country.
Absolutely. Are you familiar with, Your Honor, a bill that is now working its way through the House and the Senate in Tallahassee that will put the Bible back in the classroom as a textbook elective study, studying the Word of God? What is your stand on that, and how does that link with what we're talking about today, of praying?
I absolutely support that. The Supreme Court has stated, many people don't know this, but the Supreme Court has stated many times that the Bible can be taught in our public schools for many purposes, for history, for poetry. The Psalms of David are greater than the poems of Shakespeare.
That's right. I like that.
The Bible can be taught for history, for poetry, for many other things, even for science, because I believe in creationism and not evolution. And so the Supreme Court has said, as long as you do not use the Bible to proselytize in the schools, that the Bible can be taught in every public school in the land. And it was done, by the way, at the beginning of our country for 100 years.
Yes.
And this is what we need to do, because I believe that our young people have been brainwashed.
You got it right.
Absolutely brainwashed by the secular humanism and atheism in our schools. It has been tragic. It has been absolutely tragic. And now we're seeing the fruit of that brainwashing.
Well, you do understand that Dewey said in the Humanist Manifesto, too, that they would control America and bring about humanism and secularism through the public school system. And they have been highly successful in doing that. And it's in the public school system today that prayer has been banned. The pledge to the flag, for the most part, has been banned. The Bible has been banned. But as you said, and I revel in that statement, because I've said many times on many broadcasts that the U.S. Supreme Court did not rule that the Bible could not be in a classroom. It, in fact, can as a source of history. And so I am thankful.
Right.
And our listeners, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, be in prayer that God will allow that bill to pass in the House and the Senate in Tallahassee. The number of folks that are standing against it, there's major, major onslaught of those that want to defeat that bill and prevent it. Recently, we had just last year's legislative session where In God We Trust was prominently been legalized to be prominently put on the doorways and the buildings of our public educational system. And if this bill could pass, given the opportunity. By the way, Your Honor, I have talked with some of the legislators in Tallahassee. We've had a good relationship with several of them for many years. And I've said, if you need anybody to give testimony in relationship to that bill, let me know the night before and I'll drive there at my own expense to testify before the House and the Senate. I've also said, because one of the things that they're onerous about and saying that is the complainants about that bill, they're saying that, in fact, some saying, well, I don't want a teacher teaching my child the Bible. Well, I have said, if there's a question for Duval County, I will voluntarily teach the Bible in any classroom session any day of the week that they'd like to have me. And I believe that it's a need for conservative pastors across the state to stand up and say, I'll teach that at no cost to the state if you will put Bible back in the classroom.
Well, it's not just Florida. I think I'm very encouraged that all over the country, states, legislatures are passing laws not only to put Bible back in the schools, but also passing laws for the sanctity of life.
Yes.
And are saying that life begins at conception, and that once you have a beating heart, you cannot abort that baby, that baby has a right to live, that baby is a human being with a right to live and a right to life under the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, and I am so thankful for that. And prayer is the answer. Getting back to the centrality of our broadcast today and the National Day of Prayer, prayer is the central focus of that. Asking God to intervene. And by the way, it just comes to my mind, and by being in administrative law and understanding that aspect of life and the profession that you're in, you recognize and you recall that the Black's Law Dictionary was in the law schools in America up until the mid-50s. And the Black's Law Dictionary, and you correct me if I'm wrong, was the outgrowth of the study of the Word of God. And every premise in the Black's Law Dictionary at that time was based on authoritative scripture and the turning back to God and prayer.
Well, I believe it was. And Harvard, Princeton, and Yale were all started in order to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, absolutely. What do you think could happen?
But I,
go ahead.
I totally believe in the power of prayer. Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. So the Father will be glorified in the Son. That's John 14:13. And in James 5:16, we read that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much.
Yes.
Jesus also said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if two of you agree on anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Matthew 18:19.
Nothing any more powerful than the tool of prayer. And yet one of the things, Your Honor, that is amazing to me and sad at the same time is we have so many Christians today that when they're faced with issues, when our nation's faced with problems, many times people wring their hands and say, woe is me, nothing can be done. And it's as though we're forlorn and that we've just been cast to the wind. But one of the things that I think, and this is my theological bent today very clearly, what we're faced with in America is in direct proportion as a direct result from turning our backs on God and failing to come to Him in prayer and seeking His face and seeking His will and turning from our sin. I believe that's necessary in America today.
Amen. And there was a great revival in the 1700s in the colonies, in the American colonies, called the Great Awakening.
Yes.
Jonathan Edwards preached that great sermon that led to that great revival. And that revival led to the Revolutionary War, the Declaration of Independence, and American freedom. And so I believe we need to pray for another great awakening revival in America.
Yes. Judge, would you please take a moment? We've got about a minute left in the broadcast. Take a minute and wrap up for us. Do two things for us. Remind our listeners again about the special event on Thursday night. Remind our listeners again about the National Day of Prayer and the emphasis on that. And then I would ask you, if you would, Your Honor, close our broadcast today with a word of prayer, asking God to intervene and to have His will be known and bless America again.
Amen. The National Day of Prayer will be this Thursday, May 2nd, 2019, at 7 p.m., our venue for the official event will be New Life Christian Fellowship, 2701 Hodges Boulevard, right here in Jacksonville. And all of you are invited to come and pray. So, Father in heaven, we lift up, in the name of Jesus, we lift up the United States of America.
Yes.
God, you say in your word that if two of us agree on anything, that it will be done of the Father in heaven. And so, Father, we pray today for America, this land that we love, this land that you have given us. God, we pray that your word would be honored in this country, that you would be honored in this country, that truth would be honored, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be Lord over America, and that the blessings of God would return to our land. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We invite you to continue to pray, but most of all, on the National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May the 2nd, is the designated day. Turn to God, seek His face, ask God to intervene in the affairs of America. Ask God to protect our president. Ask God to give our president wisdom and strength and tenacity to keep on keeping on, carrying out His will for our nation. Thank you so much today, and God bless you. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.